G'day, ballers, and welcome to the Baller NRL Supercoach podcast. My name's Jono, coach of Hungry for More. And last week, we took you through the must-have Supercoach players who are going to help set your team up for success. This week, we're going with the most intriguing Supercoach players. These are the guys who we're interested in. We like a little bit of what they're about, but we have questions and we think they could make or break your side this year. To help me go through it all is two of the most intriguing Supercoach experts in the game today. First up, he is one of the most individual thinkers in all of NRL Supercoach. He is a man who loves the good old-fashioned rugby league eye test to help him with his team, and it works. He found himself in the top 10 for stretches last year. He's the coach of CMAX 86ers. It's CMAX. Welcome back to the pod, mate.
Thanks, John. I've got to correct you straight up. It's to the Shark Attack this year. 86ers was just for 1 year.
It was jinxed.
Didn't
get the results you wanted.
I finished outside the top 1,000, so it had to go. That was the problem, not me. Definitely the name.
Well, speaking of have to go, I'm sure your wife is saying that moustache that you've got, for those of us watching on YouTube, CMAX sporting a lovely baller moustache, because you had to grow that as your punishment for coming last of the baller contributors in the baller run home challenge last year. How's it going down at home?
Look, I don't think my wife's kissed me for a couple of weeks. My kids hate it. Everyone's just staring daggers at me at the moment. I'm still dirty that it was only the run home challenge that had a punishment, because I didn't fare too bad in the season as a whole, but the run home challenge obviously was a debacle. So
you ran out of trades about round 18. So yeah, the run home challenge was always going to be diabolical for you. But mate, great to have you back. Looking forward to hearing some of your opinions tonight, because I mean it sincerely. It's not like you're anti-stats. Like you use stats, you're on the baller. We can't keep you off baller.live looking at the stats there. But you are someone who, in my opinion, has the best actual rugby league knowledge of any of us who come at you with this Supercoach analysis of us at Baller. So I really always do value your opinion. Looking forward to hearing your most intriguing players tonight. Our next guest, a man who needs no introduction. He is the Sultan of Spicy Takes. He's the Prince of Pods. He's the co-host of the Sunday Snap, the coach of Tubes Pods. Tubes! How you going, mate?
Jono, I'm happy to be back. I'm a little bit disappointed. I thought when you said one of the best footy minds out there for CMAX introduction, you were about to throw to me. But as soon as you said
a
former
top,
I wasn't
sure where he was going either.
As soon as you said formerly in the top 10, I knew you weren't talking about me anymore. But even just sitting there for 2 minutes, just I was so eager to chat. I felt like Dan last week when Matt just kept talking for minutes on end. But yeah, Christopher, it's good to see you. You look like an underbelly cop is how I'm going to rate you.
That's a compliment.
Yeah. So good for YouTube viewers, which are going off the charts to start this year.
Yeah, how good last week. A lot of support for the first step of the year, which was awesome, one of our biggest ever. And if you are someone who is just enjoying the pod, enjoying what we're doing here, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like us, chuck us a comment. That's great. It gets it into other people's algorithms, helps us find us. And if you're listening to us in the podcast feed, whether it's Apple or Spotify, please subscribe, like, rate it, and yeah, do all those good things for us. That's going to make the podcast bigger and better than ever and help us grow this year. While we're in that housekeeping mode, Tubes, and by the way, great segue. You've come back in sharp, getting us back on track. Well done. As always, please make sure you are heading to baller.live, baller.live. That is your home of the best data in all of Supercoach. Once the season kicks off, it's also the best match center in all of Supercoach with the fastest updates. If you are a Supercoach nerd, you love your base plus power, you love all your stats and statistics, it's the place to go, and plenty more is going to come this year. Fellas, the other thing that's absolutely taking off at the moment is the Discord, the Ballers Only Discord, which you can access by searching baller.live/discord and following the prompts. Tubes, the community's going off at the moment. So much engagement, so many questions. It's a good little place to talk.
Yeah, it's absolutely going off. I'm loving there's some heated discussions going on. I wouldn't call them arguments, but there's certainly some difference of opinions. And it's good to see lots and lots of questions coming in, which we may or may not start to answer come the Sunday Snap on Sunday night.
You are just a segue machine tonight, Tubes. How good. I might have to... You're making a little go for the hosting job. I might have to step aside and get back into the analysis, because you're right. The Sunday Snap, Tubes, returning this Sunday. And look, This is the show where we review the NRL Supercoach round that was. There's only two trial games. We'll talk through those teams and see how many relevant players there are to talk about. But yeah, we're going to basically do that as a little review of the round, and then we're going to get into some question and answer. So, Chiefs, if people want to hear about Supercoach opinions, they want to hear about your favourite steak accompaniments, whatever they want to know, get into the Q&A section of the Discord, because it is only going to be ballers in that Discord who get their questions read out on air and answered.
You beauty.
All right, fellas, as well, before we get into the trial teams, as always, bit of a socials push. If you are searching Baller Supercoach or Baller NRL in X, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, you will find the right place to go. So please get in there and do that for us. That'd be great. Fellas, finally, we have some NRL team news. The first teams were named for the trials this week. They have two games. We've got the Dogs and the Cowboys, the Dragons and the Knights, and these are our teams that are going to be playing over in Vegas. Now, I'm just going to quickly share my screen, fellas, so we can get that up there for those watching on YouTube, and we can see the players who are kind of getting around and see who we think are the most relevant ones. Now, going through this Doggies team that you guys can see on screen here, I think we could all agree that the Doggies team is pretty much a reserve grade squad, so I don't think there's a lot of Supercoach relevance for us to talk about, but that is not the case for this Cowboys team. There's a couple of interesting little tidbits. C-Mac, taking a look at that Cowboys team for the first trial, what is interesting you?
Purdue at 5'8", like I guess we kind of figured he might land there. I know there's been some chat from Peyton early in the preseason that he's been training in the halves, but just to see him lining up there straight away got me somewhat interested, so I'm very keen to see how he goes in the halves.
Yeah, keen to see how that lines up, because the chatter I'd heard was that he'd been training at halfback.
Yeah,
so
I heard
we potentially didn't play in 5'8". So I would have thought that if that was the case, they would have actually given him a run, being the main controlling man at number seven there, kind of leading the kicking game. But yeah, maybe it's just because that's the only position Clifford can play. Tubes, anything from the Cowboys team there that jumps out for you?
Not sure, really. I suppose pretty interesting to see if there's some backline spots being played out for. It's been a bit annoying with Chester going down. So hoping he's back before the second trial so we can know if he's going to be the cheapie that we all hope that he will be. Good to see one of your boys, Helam Lukey, back, Jono. So hopefully he can play. We know he can be an 80-minute edge back rower. And with Jeremiah Nanai out for the first 6 weeks, he could be one of those mid-rangers that you get sucked into early doors.
Yeah, just on Tommy Chester there, I was also listening to the Magic Sponge, good friend of the show, Brian, the NRL Physios podcast, and he spoke about Tommy Chester at length. He said that with an MCL injury, that his expectation would be that he should be back in time for the season, and that's made even more kind of, we can feel more confident because Toddy Payton said 50-50 chance for the second trial. So if they're thinking 50-50 chance for trial number two, he should be back. But yeah, Tubes, Helam Lukey is an interesting one because there was rumours that Sam McIntyre was kind of the favourite to start on an edge over Lukey and Lukey get a bench spot. Lukey's a really friendly Supercoach player when he gets the minutes. He's got a good power game. The problem is he just can't stay on the field and can't stay fit, but he's just over 400K. He's very, very cheap. So I personally, I always fall into the trap of Lukey. I think I've owned him like five times over the last 4 years. There's a chance that we'll be able to make it number six come round one. Anything else, fellas, before we move on to the next game that jumps out for you from those team lists?
Yes, for me.
All right. Well, let's get down to the second game, which is the Dragons and the Knights. And this does have – oops, I've gone too far there. This does have a couple of interesting bits and pieces because there are some real cheapies available, particularly at the Dragons. C-Mac, you can see there that David Farley is in the centres and Setu Tu has landed a spot on the wing with Christian Tuipulotu, who originally was a chance of not even making it in for the season. He's there, named ready to go for the first trial. What do you make of this Farley and Setu Tu wing centre situation?
Well, yeah, I'm very intrigued to see it. Obviously, he's been hot property in everyone's preseason draft stuff. Is it Farley? Are we running with Farley?
That's I believe so. Yeah. I think so, yes.
He's been in a lot of teams, very well owned. So I'm very interested to see how he goes. He's a recruit who came across from the Panthers, I believe. Also, Setu Tu, another one who looks very popular. Obviously, Dan's boys, the Couchy brothers, are both there, which looks great. The one for me, guys, and it'd be absolute remiss of me not to mention it because I'm wearing it, Charlie Heidke on the bench in number 15, 18-year-old boy from Berry. How good? Usually it's up the road from Gerringong, but Charlie played all his juniors at the Berry Magpies, and he's on the bench on the weekend, and whole town's a buzz. Can't wait to see him go. Good luck, Charlie.
You thinking about picking him as enough in your opening Supercoach team?
Mate, let's see how he goes. He might be a superstar. He genuinely is a freak talent, super, super fast. I think it's just a bit early for him for first grade, but excited to see him in the side.
Tubes, what do you make of these Dragons' backs? Do you think that Farley being named in the centres for the trial, set it to on the wing, is a sign that maybe Tu has the kind of edge on him for that wing spot?
I don't think so. I think he can play – if he can play centre and you can also play wing, they might just be looking at what the different combinations need to look like. So, obviously, if Val goes down injured, et cetera, they probably want to see who their next up centre is. That doesn't necessarily exclude him from the wing. I think we'll find out a bit more in the second trial. It's a bit of a tough one. It feels like the Dragons have – half named a starting team. Like you see Josh Kerr and Toby Couchman there as the starting front rowers, but then obviously they've left out Jaden Suar, and is Dylan Egan maybe still coming back from that ACL injury, so might not be ready in time. So it's just all a bit, you know, up in the air, I think, with the pack. But it'll be good to see the Couchman brothers on the field at the same time, because I really don't mind both of them to start the season as a bit of, you know, ready to explode young guns, forward packs coming through. So I want to see them get away to a good trial.
Yeah, I think Toby Couchman is one that we'll definitely talk about in episodes in the future of our Baller preseason content, because he's a really interesting player. And Ryan Couchman, Dan's man, for those who don't know, Danny Boy brought in Ryan Couchman as a big cheap pod, I guess you could call him, to start last year. And Ryan Couchman got on early. Dan was up and about texting the group and then gone for the season immediately. Also, I just remember one of my favourite moments. There's a lot of people who didn't listen to the Baller content at the start of last year. Dan sending me a you up message at 5:30 in the morning Australia time. And I was thinking of my first ever you up message. It was fantastic to receive. And then he just wanted to send me a whole bunch of Ryan Couchman New South Wales Cup stats. So one of my best interactions with Dan ever. From the night side, there's the most interesting is clearly this half situation. So it has so many Supercoach implications. So basically what the word is that Fletcher Sharp and Sandon Smith are having a bit of a shootout for who's going to partner Dylan Brown in the halves. C-Mac, what do you see as the potential implications here, depending on who gets the job for Supercoach?
Well, it's not just the halves. You've got the fullback question as well, because is Ponga going to be right for round one? So, look, Fletcher Sharp will easily slide back into fullback if Kalyn Ponga is unavailable. For me, I just feel like from what I've seen of Fletcher Sharp, he's too good to just be pushed out into the wing. But in saying that, I feel like Sandon Smith is the only really recognised half in the squad. It's a really intriguing one. I can't wait to see how it plays out, particularly in the trials before we get a look at it in round zero over there in Vegas. But look, for me, I think Sandon Smith will get that starting seven, and I think if Pong is a bit late to the show, I think Sharp will seal the number one jersey. But they've fielded a fairly strong side, the Knights. There's a lot of first graders there. I'm also interested to see how Trey Mooney goes and how many minutes he gets. I know it's hard to mark on a trial, but I'm really, really looking forward to seeing him go.
Yeah, the other good thing about Trey is he's coming up against a pretty good pack, like up against Kerr, the Couchman brothers, Harmay Selle, formerly known as Harmay Baye on these pods, and Jacob Halangahu. So that's a good first grade ready pack that he's going to come up against. So we'll see how he goes. Chiefs, any other thoughts on this Knights trial team?
I think outside of Dylan Lucas, it seems to be that they've gone with their starting pack, or what is likely is sort of a predicted starting pack. So I think that's good to see for those that are looking at Trey Mooney as a mid-ranger, regardless of how many minutes he plays. Also a bit of a shootout, I think. So they got Fletcher Hunt at fullback. We know KP comes back into there. I think they've already confirmed KP won't play either trials, but he's no doubt for Vegas, is my understanding. So interesting that they've got then Schiller and Marju on the wings. I wonder if that's a bit of a shootout, given Dom Young probably has one wrapped up, and we know the centers are going to be Bradman Best and Dane Gagai. So, yeah, just another interesting one. Marju, obviously, an absolute premium.
Surely Greg the Leg's got Schiller covered. Surely Greg's
got
covered.
So Greg was at the Titans with Holbrook, and I think Holbrook dropped him. So I don't know if that comes into it. Surely Greg's – well, I'm also just interested in seeing how fit Greg looks. Like, you got to be thinking he's training the house down this preseason. Like, this is
– they all are.
Like,
haven't heard anyone, is it?
But if ever somebody was, it should be Greg this off. Like, he could be out of the NRL just about if he gets dropped again by Holbrook.
I think the thing that I'm most curious in is just this halves situation. I think you guys made good points. Trey Mooney must watch. Jermaine McEwen, who will come up in tonight's show, so I'm going to spoil that, but he's a big watch too. But this halves situation, if Sandon Smith starts at halfback, that will likely mean that A, Dylan Brown plays 5'8 and gets that duel, which will make him one of the most owned 5'8s. But also B, Kalen Ponga might not goal kick. If he's a goal kicking fullback, he's going to be super highly owned. If he loses that goal kicking to Sandon Smith, that's going to have big implications. The other one is, if Fletcher Sharp is in the halves, Dylan Brown might be named in number 7, which means he doesn't get that duel that everyone's hoping he does. So I think that decision that Holbrook's going to make is going to have massive super coach implications. So really excited to see how it plays out. All right, fellas, enough troll talk. Let's get into now our most intriguing players. And I think we are starting off with mine. So my 5 most intriguing players are Stefano Utikamanu, Selwyn Cobbo, Jermaine McEwen, who we just spoke about from the Knights, Reece Walsh, and Sua Fa'alongo. So these are guys, fellas, who have come in and out of my Supercoach team at different points. Some of them are mainstays, some of them a little bit of flirtation with the Hungry Firm All squad of 25. Starting off with Stefano Utikamanu, he's one that hasn't really left my team, which might sound crazy. I really liked what I saw of him for the second half of last year. So Stefano, C-Mac, I remember when you jumped on the Sunday Snap as a guest last year, you and I were kind of calling into question Stefano's origin selection and saying we didn't think he deserved to pick. And I think a lot of people felt that way. His first 14 games for the Storm, he averaged 40 minutes a game, non-injury affected. That was just their role. 45.8 points per game. So just over a point per minute. After Origin 1, he had 11 games for the rest of the year. Those numbers moved up to 50 minutes a game and 65.9 points per game. And that was only one try. We're not talking about outlier tries to help boost that score. We're talking about just how his form turned around. And that's not including the finals, but in the finals, he continued to score really well. So his baller 2025 base plus power average, which you can see on baller.live, is 51.8 for the year. But if you just focus in on that second half, it becomes much, much bigger. C-Mac, I saw you nodding along. Tubes looks a lot more dubious, so I'm going to throw to the person who I think might support my case better to start and give me that affirmation I'm looking for. C-Mac, what do you think of Utikamanu?
Look, I must admit, at first, didn't like what I heard. I just for whatever reason, he's never shone bright to me as a Supercoach relevant player. As you've gone through that and explained why you've put him on the list here, I can get around it. Front row. I don't like spending big, apart from a Payne Haas early on. He's about that 500 mark, sort of priced as a mid-ranger. If you get that second half year output from him, you're probably pretty happy. Look, he's not one I'm gonna start with. That base plus power average though. I'm so intrigued to see the minutes with Stefano, but He's not for me, Jono, but I do like where your thinking's at. I like how you've put that out there for us to suck up.
Well, I think he is going to get big minutes. Obviously, Storm Pack, no Nass this year. Eli Katara out for the year, which is kind of causing a bit of a shuffling of the deck chairs. I think the minutes, 50 minutes doesn't feel crazy. If he gets 50 minutes with his PPM, his points per minute, then he will score well. I think he could be my third front rower who I then hold for the season. Tubes, I think he's a bit of a Stefano from your perspective. What do you think of him?
Yeah, well, you just take my joke before I get to give it. Like, I'm not sure about this hosting of the Tuesday pod from you, Jono. Like, you You take all the intriguing players first, make sure you get to go first so no one else can, and then you decide to start throwing in jokes that I've already told you pre-pod.
Now, to be fair, your joke wasn't very good. You called him Stefan No-Go, and I've just improved it by just putting an emphasis on the no. So I've taken your joke, and I feel improved it and tweaked it.
He's a Stefan No-Go, and that's not because... And that's not because I don't think that you are wrong that he did take a bit of a leap last year in terms of his actual NRL performance and his actual the way that he sort of became a bit of that alpha of the pack in the NRL finals. But I just don't see necessarily that means that he'll have a step up in minutes. Bellamy isn't necessarily a front row forward 50 to 60 minute plus man, I think. He's going to want Stefano at the back end of the year. He knows that he's got to avoid that injury risk and all of those different things. So I don't think we're going to necessarily see a bigger output from him than we saw last year. I think at 515K, that's just a mid-ranger in that front row forward that you don't need when you can be either getting a gun or a cheapie. And there's other mid-rangers that are much better at a cheaper price.
So you'd rather someone like a Jermaine Hopgood maybe at a similar price, Tubes, if we were looking at a kind of like-for-like comparison?
I'm not sold on Hopgood, but if we know his minutes are there, he is a proven super coach gun with minutes that are there. I'm more thinking like if you put him up against Trey Mooney 100K less, I'd much rather
A
Trey Mooney. If you're thinking, there's no way Stefano's your front row forward one. So really we're talking about front row forward two because I agree with C-Mac, you're not spending huge in front row forward and I just think he is a no-go front row forward two option.
All right, let's get on to my next player then. Been outvoted 2-1 there. My next most intriguing player is Selwyn Cobbo, who on the surface of it hasn't ever been the most relevant Supercoach player. His best ever average in a season was in 2023. He averaged 59 for the year playing on the right wing. The big thing for this year is he's playing on the left, and the Finns barely scored any tries down the right last year. They only scored 26% of tries down the right, which was the second worst in the whole competition. Their left wing, on the other hand, which is where Selwyn Cobbo is expected to line up this year, was an absolute goldmine. Jackie Bostock scored 9 tries in 13 games. Tubes, your man, Nafahu, came in and scored 6 tries in 5 games. So my thinking is, his base plus power, by the way, was 36. So nothing special. That was when he played on the wing in 2023. Now, a couple of things. We got the narrative. We got Selwyn coming in looking fitter than he ever has before by all reports. He's got a bit of a point to prove against Brisbane, who didn't really kind of stop him from leaving and going to the Finns. ICAT, Isaiah Katoa, looks unbelievable on that left-hand edge, and I think we'll just be throwing beautiful balls down to Selwyn. I just think he's one of these guys who in the first 2-3 weeks, if he just goes crazy on a try-scoring rampage, priced at 524K with a point to prove, I think he's a really interesting player. I'm surprised that his ownership, it's at 19%. I would have liked it to be lower. Not that ownership is my most important aspect when I'm picking a team for the start of the year, but I'd love it to be lower. What do you fellas think of Selwyn?
I love him. I think if you are thinking of starting the year with Herbie Farmworth and paying that 850K premium, you need to be thinking about doing the Dolphins left edge stack and getting Herbie and Cobbo as your
Danny Boy stack.
Wings. Yeah, the Danny Boy stack. I just think that they've got a nice run or decent enough run from a try scoring point of view. And I really like that as a potential stack option. He's been in and out of my preseason drafts, but currently out, but easily could be in. Very intriguing.
C-Mac?
Yeah, I'm a lot like Tubes. I've had him in and out. I like it, particularly if there's confirmation that he's on that left edge. Playing outside Herbie is wonderful real estate in rugby league. 524, that's a nice price. The ownership, though, I didn't see 20% coming.
Like, yeah, crazy.
I'm not happy about that at all. Like you said, I'm not one who really pushes back on ownership, but that I thought I might have got under 10 then. So, yeah, again, not in my sight at the moment, but every chance he could be by round one.
Jono, I tuned out a little bit in your diatribe. Did you mention his like he's in a contract year? He's playing for that Bears money as well. Like that's
could be a big factor.
Yeah, a little bit of narrative there. Bears money coming.
Big meal watching.
A lot of narrative. Yeah, look, Chiefs, that whole thing you mentioned of Herbie Farmworth with the stack is interesting because I have had Selwyn Cobbo in many drafts on my team. Herbie, just for that price, I haven't had him in a lot. Is it silly to go Selwyn without Herbie, or is it there's a chance he's like a little bit of Herbie insurance? Actually, Farnworth sounds like it could be the name of an insurance company. I'd feel safe with my insurance with Farnworth Proprietary Limited. But is it silly to have one football, and not the other? Buddy.
I don't think it's silly to have one and not the other. I just think that if you're buying into this narrative of lots of tries down the left edge, I don't think that Cobbo's necessarily scoring a bunch of tries from a hammer cutout ball, face ball Herbie to hit Cobbo on that outside. I think that Herbie will be helping set up Cobbo. The only thing that I will say is from memory when my man, the debutant winger last week, Nafua, last year, Herbie got injured, I believe, just before his big run started. And then Hammer was inside him on that left wing. And I'm assuming they had Trey Fuller playing fullback as well or something like that. I can't remember. So it is a little bit, but I mean, it's all Bostock had a huge year before that as well. So I do think that left side is the place to be. And a stack wouldn't go astray.
All right, my next most intriguing player is Jermaine McEwen. Fellas, I'm going to keep this one a lot shorter in the reasons why I like him. He's priced at an average of 41.7. In his 8 starting games last year, he averaged 52.8 in 75 minutes. So he's definitely priced at value if he gets the role that people expect him to in that left edge 80-minute role potentially with the Newcastle Knights. And C-Mac, I mentioned you're the king of the rugby league eye test. For me, Jermaine McEwen, poof, he passed it with flying colours in his time last year. What do you guys make of him?
Yeah, look, obviously that we saw the trial team earlier. Jermaine McEwen is named to start. If he gets that starting edge role, given that we're very certain that Dylan Lucas will get the other one, then I wouldn't mind a look at him. Obviously, averaged 55.8 last year. In his 65 plus minute game. So if he gets that edge locked down, he's going to get the minutes. So I don't mind it. And he's priced at a 42 average here. I really don't mind it at all. Definitely intriguing and definitely worth a look at the price for sure.
Yeah, look, my only thing with McEwen is just watch how many Knights you have in your team. I've certainly got an eye on KP, Trey Mooney, Dillbags, and there's other options that potentially come available as well. I think 4 might be too many, and whilst he's an option, he might be someone that I leave out of my team just because of that.
All right, well, let's move on to one of the premium players in our Supercoach. He's priced at 835K. He's currently in 20% of teams. It is Reece Walsh, who just one of the great ends to a season last year. He went 134 plus in 5 of his last 6 regular season games, and getting onto baller.live and looking at the final stuff, he averaged 122 for the final series where he's playing against the best teams. There is an argument that he may be underpriced even at 835K because in his first 7 games of the year, he only averaged 57. So he still put together that price tag and that average with a really slow start to the year. Yeah, after he came back from his PCL, he averaged 103.5 in his remaining 11 games. So, fellas, they start the year going Penrith, Parramatta, Melbourne, Dolphins, Titans. Has Reece Walsh Tubes tempted you in any way to start in your team?
No, not for me. I hope I'm happy for many people to look at starting him at the start of this year. It's a tale as old as time. I think we've seen it. We could go all the way back to Jarryd Hayne in 2000, circa 2009. fullbacks go on these runs. They go on unbelievable runs. We got Tommy Turbo. The rage was KP, I think, at the start of 2023 or 2024 after the huge run that he went on. They'll always regress to the mean, and starting at 850-odd K is just too much, I think, to start with Reece Walsh. Happy to watch many others hopefully jump on him and lay him. You said it before, he might be underpriced because he started the year averaging 57. That was when Reynolds was in the team. Their attack's a little bit more structured and going through the middle, and he doesn't have the goal kicking. All three of those things are going to be happening at the start of this year as well. So I don't know why people are sitting there thinking he's going to be averaging 90 plus for the first five rounds of the year. That's not to disparage the run that he had. He literally had the best grand final game I have ever seen, and I think anyone has probably ever seen. But don't let that recency bias fool you.
C-Mac, that was stronger than I expected from Chews there. What do you think, C-Mac? Well, is he coming in out of your team?
He's been in my team from day dot, and I am absolutely rattled after Chews has just thrown that at me. Rattled. Look, I trust my eyes, always have. Watched him the back end of last year, and I haven't seen much like it. It was amazing. I don't like the Broncos. I don't like Reece Walsh, but it would kill me to see him regress back to that mean that you speak of, Tubes, because he was setting the rugby league world alight. He went over to the Ashes and was unbelievable as well. Mind you, made plenty of mistakes along the way, but made up for it well and truly. So I'm starting with him at the moment. The thing about starting with, you know, someone at that price, if it doesn't work out for a couple of weeks, it's really, really easy to jump off and go to pretty much anyone. So I see it as a pretty low-risk play to start with. There's no price rises for 3 weeks. Penrith first up probably will be the best defensive team again, but Para, Dolphins and the Titans in the first five, I'm feeling really good about starting with Reece Walsh.
Yeah, I'm less bullish than Tubes. I don't think I'm going to be able to front up with the cash to start with Reecey Boy this year. I think there's a few really good options who are a little bit cheaper. One of them we're going to discuss next. But I am also acknowledging that if he comes out and goes bang, bang, bang to start the year, gets 100-plus scores, and the guys I pick, you know, falter, I'm starting behind the eight ball. And I do like your point, C-Mac, of you can kind of watch and observe. When you own Reece Walsh, you can take a look at Ponga. You can take a look at Sua Fa'alongo. You can take a look at Keanu Kinney, see who's the best of that bunch, and then open up, you know, potentially 250-300K going down to those guys. So it's interesting. I think I'm with Tubes overall, but definitely less bullish. But that's what we like about Tubes. He's not gonna hide from an opinion. All right, the last most intriguing play from my list is Sua Fa'alongo. Obviously, Ryan Pappenhausen is retired. Sua Fa'alongo is going to be the starting fullback for the Melbourne Storm this year. Look, basically, he is priced at just around a 52 average. He actually didn't play any games in fullback in 2025. When he did play, he came in at the wing. His last season at fullback in first grade, 7 games at fullback in his debut year for 64 points per game, lending itself to the fact that he is underpriced. His career average in Queensland Cup is also 64. So, look, the numbers aren't huge. They do suggest that he is underpriced. I also think there's a chance that as a young player, he's about to be surrounded by some really high-quality NRL players, that those averages could easily increase once he gets kind of finds his footing. But I'm interested. He's 34%, which is really, again, quite high. Again, I try not to focus too much on ownership, but I'm surprised at 34%. Chews, what's your early read on Sua Fa'alongo?
I just think that at that price, you talked about it with, say, Reece Walsh. If you get him at 850, it's real easy to go down to someone like Sua. I think if you start with Sua, it's a real awkward one if he doesn't fire. Obviously, Pappy fired in that position last year. Sua does look like a player for the future, but I'm just not convinced he's got that ball playing ability quite yet. He's obviously not kicking goals. I think he will score and he'll have high games. I just think premium fullback position, you want the premium players. And if he's sitting there averaging 50 or 60, then he might be doing enough just to be holding his price or going up a little bit. But you're sort of in that awkward position as to how do you get to the guns from there.
So, Mac, what do you think about Sua?
Yeah, I probably lean to Tubes' way of thinking. I think at the price, I'm not rushing to him. Also, I think I say it every preseason, if I'm going to spend money at fullback, it's going to be on premiums only. And we'll probably dive into that later in another segment. But I couldn't go there. He's an intriguing watch just in that he's taking Ryan Pappenhausen's spot. He's finally got that crack that he's probably deserved. And if he was at another club, he probably would have taken it with both hands by now. But now he's got the rails run into the number one for the Storm. And I've got no doubt that he'll go well. I can't start with him. I want to have a look.
Yeah, I think you both make really good points. Chiefs, the one about his lack of ball playing is fair. I don't think he's going to be a big try assist man like Ryan Pappenhausen could be at times. But I do think his power stats, like he's a bouncy little fella. When he comes into contact, he seems hard to grab. So I think he's going to get a lot of tackle busts, and that's going to help him have a really strong base plus power average. So I'll be paying close attention to that over the first couple of games. All right, that is my most intriguing players all finished. C-Mac, going to allow you to take over the hosting duties for a minute. If you want to read us through your five to start, and then you kind of give us the case for each, and Chiefs and I can respond in turn.
Perfect. Well, going through this, it was quite actually difficult this morning, going through who my most intriguing players were. But the two that came straight to my mind were Jerome Hughes, Britton Nicara, Reece Robson, Ruben Garrick, and Will Warbrick. But the two for me that came straight up were Hughes and Nicara. Boys, I'm going to dive into Jerome Hughes first. For me, Jerome Hughes will always have a piece of my heart for that 2024 back end of season run he had. Got me into the top 100. Yes, I'm blowing my own trumpet there. But vice captained him in the last round for like 170 or something against the Broncos. But that Dally M season is still fresh in my mind, and I am very, very confident him coming back fully fit, hopefully. He will hit the ground running. There's some caveats here. Obviously, Eli Katoa has been his main man to hit. That is not there this year. So that is a worry, definitely. Also, no Pappenhausen. Now, is that potentially a positive? Does that mean he'll take more of the creative play, potentially? I just think, you know, he averaged 65 last year, and I think it was 80-odd the year before. So I feel there's a bounce back coming, and I really, really like the Storm starting the year. They always start pretty hot. I think Parra is a nice first up matchup for them. I think Jerome Hughes is in for a big year. The other one I was going to mention, sitting back as a Kiwi watching the Pacific Nations last year, or the Pacific Cup, I reckon that would have bit at him, knowing it's a World Cup year coming up. And I just think he's going to have a huge preseason. Geez, I'm rolling out the narrative here. I think he's going to have a huge preseason, hit the ground running. And I really, really like Jerome Hughes. I'm actually looking at running three halfbacks, and obviously he's one of them. Oof. I want to hear from you first, Jono.
Yeah, I think there's absolutely no chance to start with him. I'm going to say that from the get-go. I just think that we will talk in Baller Blueprint about your strategy around gun and premiums at halfback and fullback. I would prefer Nathan Cleary as a high-end player, and I am looking at running either a Sanders or an Atkinson just for the balance it brings to my squad. So I won't start with him, but I do understand it. So last year, he didn't see the 80 minutes out in six of his 18 games last year. So six injury-affected games where he had limited minutes. That's obviously affecting his average. That's a third of his games. And all players are going to have a head knock here or there, but to have 130 of games be injury impacted is pretty big. So I do think he's a little bit undervalued when, you know, with that case he put forward. Don't mind it. Not for me.
Tubby?
Yeah, I like him. Very, very much on my radar. I'm looking at potentially starting with two gun halfback, 631K. He is on past performance. He's definitely underpriced. He should be over 700. He slots in very nicely there. There are those question marks, but I think there's positives that outweigh. Obviously, having ECAD outside you is a positive, but I don't think that he necessarily got a lot of, you know, junky type points from that. I think Pappenhausen not being there is probably a positive because he would have taken a lot of try assists as well with those sweeping balls, whereas potentially going to Sua changes. I think that he established himself as the absolute dominant playmaker for the Melbourne Storm in the last 2 years. And if he's fully fit, he's one that could easily get off to a red hot start for this year. So I like him, especially if you're running a two halfback, gun halfback strategy. He's probably the obvious underpriced one for me.
Like it. Feel good about that, Tubes. All right, my next one's Britton Nicara. Coming in at 570K. So not quite premium price. 3% ownership at the minute. His average last year was only 58. I say only, but that's still not too bad, and I'll explain why in a minute. Base plus power average for last year was 46.8. He doesn't have the base plus power that some other back rowers do have. What he does do, though, is get attacking stats. Last year, he only had 7 tries. And I say only, 7 for a back row is usually pretty good, but I feel like Nicara is a strike weapon on the edge for the Sharks. And it doesn't matter which half. Cronulla play a different style of football where it's generally Trindle on his side, I think, but both halves at different times will swing, and he's got great relationships with both and runs as good a line as anyone in the NRL. I think his Pacific, I'm going to go back to the Pacific Cup again. I thought he had a game, and I can't remember off the top of my head whether it was Tonga or Samoa, where he was unbelievable. Like, just breaking tackles, he was a beast. He lost his starting spot at the back end of last year. I think he's going to hit the ground running and train the house down. And Britton Nicara, he's got that pedigree. He's been an absolute premium back row before. I think he can be it again, and I really like him. I'm all but starting him in my first side at the minute. Tubes, I'll go to you first.
Oh, good.
Oh,
that's a stinker, I reckon. Like I've said, Taylor's on it. Mid-range back row traps. Like, just leave me out.
Is he a mid-range though? Like, maybe price
570K. Yeah, he has been a gun. I agree. He has been a gun. He lost the starting spot, as coming you off said, injury. And I know that was coming off injury, but just a great back row the Sharks have got. Billy Burns did play very well. Obviously, Jesse Colquhoun and Teague Wilton and Colquhoun, I think.
I like Colquhoun.
Anyway, so I don't think he's assured of 80 minutes from my perspective. And I just think 570K, he's easily one that you could look at once you've seen him fully playing for and what that rotation is going to look like for the first few weeks or first few rounds from my perspective.
C-Mac,
I was so deflated by the everything after that. It was a blur.
Joro, like.
Well, C-Mac, let me start with that because I am with Tubes. I'm not into Britton Nicara.
A hat-trick room one.
Look, he averaged over 69 in 2024, over 69 in 2023. So the fact that he did have a year of 58, I can understand why that looks like a downturn. So, Mac, you said it was a try-scoring issue. 7 tries last year, 9 in 2024, 8 in 2023. So that difference in average isn't coming down to a lack of tries. His tries were actually fairly comparable. What it came down to
throw stats at me.
Yeah. That was a run sheet stitch-up, I think.
His base play, yeah, thanks. Shout out Greamsy for that stitch up on C-Mac.
Make sure only
7 tries in the in his spreadsheet. Didn't fail to mention that's pretty standard. Now, look, what fell off dramatically for him was his base plus power. His base plus power all year was nothing like it was the 2 years prior. I'm interested for you guys as Sharkies fans. He's like Tubes, and we spoke about this in the Snap a lot of times last year. Was it just a tactic to make Britton Nicara do less grunt work to protect his body and make him sharper and more of an attacking weapon coming near the try line? And I think there's a big chance that, yes, that's what it was. So for me, C-Mac, I hope you start with him. I hope you prove me wrong. But I just think that maybe his role and the way he's going to play the game of rugby league has changed a little bit.
No, I think they're all fair points. I don't know, I'm probably a little black, white and blue eyes here. I'm a little biased. It's probably fair.
Would you do the Nicho stack if you go on Nicara?
Well, Nicho's always in my team. Nicho's, I don't even think about not having Nicho. Always Nicho. So it's every chance.
So, Mac, I like the The Graham's just written gotcha in our chat that we can see. But as if he purposely stitched you up and didn't just make a mistake.
I'm sort of with him. Seven tries felt low. That's why I ran with it. Anyway, we'll move on from Britt. The next guy is Reece Robson at hooker, coming from the Cowboys down to the Roosters. Priced at 500, so mid-range, 10% ownership. Look, the reason I've thrown him in here, I'm not sure I particularly like it, but I'm having real trouble filling my hooker spot, to be honest. I'm not quite sure if I want to go to Harry Grant, although I think he's really well priced. I have currently got two cheapies in Smith and Talon De Silva, which that's not viable. So I'm just trying to work out how to fit everyone in my team. And I've been looking at Reece Robson. Now, his average is, you know, it's meat and potatoes for a hooker. But what minutes is he going to play? That's the biggest question for me. Like, Connor Watson did play big minutes, but he also had Cheese coming off the bench at different times, Zach Docker-Clay coming off the bench at different times, and he could also go into that middle rotation as well and fill just about any position on the field. Robson's not going to have that. So, look, I'm sort of talking everyone out of him straight away, but it's more about those people who can't get to a Harry Grant. What do you do? Who are those mid-rangers? And I think, given that, you know, he's made the move to the Roosters, I see an upswing in it for him particularly. I don't know how the Roosters are going to play this year with a new hooker and a new, 5'8", with Kerry Evans coming along. So I think he's worth a look, maybe not to start with, but just a look, because it's really hard to fill hooker again this year unless you start with Harry Grant, in my opinion. Boys, any love there for Reece Robson or any ideas around who else potentially you could fill in that middle range hooker role?
Yeah, I think with Robson, I do worry about Connor Watson if he's named at 14 with the versatility that Connor Watson has to slot in at hooker 20 minutes if need be. Reece Robson's been an 80-minute hooker now for 4 years, and I just worry that maybe the Roosters look at kind of scaling that back a little bit when they do have someone really good to fill in. The Cowboys never had anyone with the versatility of Connor Watson sitting on their bench. So I just want to wait and see. I also think there's a chance he just becomes a pass and tackle man at the Roosters and just feeds the ball out to those dominant players. C-Mac, my answer to who would be a decent option, and I can't believe I'm saying this, it feels like I'm swearing, but Reed Marnie at 418K, 80K cheaper there. And I just wonder, because I think at the Cowboys, he will get that 80-minute role. I don't want to start with either of them, but I'm just giving that as an option for people who are looking for someone at around that price range. Or a Jakey Simpkin if he gets 80 minutes too.
Jono, Reed Marnie. Sorry, couldn't help it. Had to do it back. sorry, Jono.
I like it, Christopher.
Tubes likes it. Go, talk to me.
I'm jumping on board. I think you don't want to spend up at hooker. I know he's still close to 500K. I know you talked about Watson there. My main concern, I think Watson's going to play more middle role for them and obviously can play hooker. They had that, what's their hooker
Benny Aiello.
Off the bench. We obviously haven't talked yet much on the pod about the potential for rule changes, the potential for a six-man bench. I think Benny is a perfect six-man bench candidate that never gets onto the field, just sits there with Connor Watson potentially playing 10 to 15 minutes at hooker to give Robson a breather, but I think he's playing 65 to 80 minutes each and every week. You look back at his 2024 stats, he started the season hot. I just think there's a bit of narrative there. Blake Brayley's coming for his New South Wales hooker spot as well. Like, I just think that Robson's not the worst as a safe option, only 100K less than Harry Grant, 100K less than Harry Grant, and could average his 60 to start the year in a very, very boring position.
We certainly sold it better than I did, Tubes.
Now, I do think one last thing on Robson, we don't want to spend too much time on him, but like looking at baller.live, his base plus power average last year was 46.3 for a 50 average. There's like almost no attack that helped boost him to that score. That's nearly all base plus power. My big thing is just the minutes, because I think if he's going to exceed that price tag, he needs 80 tubes. I don't think 60 to 65 minutes is enough. Like, he's priced that with an 80-minute role. So I just want to see the minutes first, but he could become interesting in round three.
I don't know. Like, I agree, but he loves a meat pie, And I just think that the Roosters pack is going to be better than the go forward he was getting at the Cowboys. Spencer Lenu, Nefil White running off him and also getting some quicker play the balls. Connor Watson, quickest play the ball in rugby league outside of Cam Murray. Like, so I'm just saying that there's plenty of upside in attack for Reece Robson.
I like it, Tubes. Makes me feel better about bringing him up. Next one is another guy who's been, you know, a super coach gun for quite some time, Ruben Garrick. His ownership's really low to start the season, which is pretty unusual for Rubes. He's going back to center. Obviously, it will be goal kicking. There is a question mark on Manly as a football side from some portions, but not from me. I really like Manly this year. I like that they've brought in a halfback who will get them around the field in a more structured way and potentially unlock Turbo even more. I am seriously looking at the Ruben Turbo stack. Look, I've always liked Ruben Garrick. I own him pretty much every year. Why not own him from the start? I think Manly's first five games, something like, correct me if I'm wrong, three or four of them at Four Pines, which is always good. So I really like Ruben Garrick. I'm looking at an almost premium centre winger, given that the options of Herbie, who limped off a training apparently the other day, Jacob Kiraz, who's also in the injury group and has a round two bye, I don't mind him to start at the moment. I really like Ruben. Any thoughts on it, Jono?
Yeah, I like it too. I think it's funny because he came in at pretty much exactly the same price to start last year, and he was one of the most owned players. Everyone wanted a bar of Garrick, and there was a lot of chatter about how good he was. Look, his base plus power is 39.7. That is not stellar. That's middle of the road for wingers and centers in the NRL these days. But what he does have is that goal kicking. He gets 10 points a game from goal kicks. So that kind of base plus power average, you add the goal kicking, it's a 50 average as kind of your base for Ruben Garrick over the course of the season. The big question is, yeah, can that Manly attack fire? He scored 11 tries last year. That's a little bit more than Britton Nicara and quite comparable to his career averages outside of 2021, where everyone at Manly went on an absolute crazy tear. But you take that year out, 11 tries is about right. I could see him easily exceeding that this year if Manly click. I like it, and I'm putting a lot of consideration into him. And Seamac, I'm with you. I'd prefer him over a Jacob Kiraz just with that big price difference.
Beautiful, Jono. Tubby.
Jono, does Jamal Fogarty still go to the noted Canberra barber to get his hair cut? Is that where you're getting your inside information that Ruben Garrick is kicking this year? Because I don't think it's 100%. I think there's a chance that Jamal kicks, and I think there's a big chance that Jamal kicks. I think that losing Cherry Evans will be a negative for Garrick. I think that Garrick was a much better option when he did go to that left wing, if you're looking at a turbo stack rather than going to the right. In saying all of that, obviously he will still be a gun, and he should. He does have those big games in him that we saw, but I think the risk of him not kicking, although we should find out in the trials, the loss of Cherry Evans, and just the fact that I think he's now signed with the Dragons. Love a narrative. Now signed with the Dragons.
Roosters.
Sorry, with the Roosters. Just could not be a career year for Ruben. That's all. And there's enough downside there for me to not pay $664K for him to start the year.
Fairly well thought out reply there, Tubes. Nothing else on Ruben, boys.
You get so sad when we rebuild.
No,
it's
fine.
So sad. You're riding the waves of emotion in this intriguing
so
five here, C-Mac.
Anyway, we'll move on to my last one, the Brick, Willie Boy Warbrick. Obviously missed a lot of football last year due to concussion. Came back in the finals and I thought played really, really well. I think you're getting him at a reduced price. He's 413K. His ownership's at about 10%, just a bit above. Obviously, I touched on last year, he didn't play many games. His average was 47. I don't know what to take into that. Base plus power last year, 35.3. Look, he's not a Brian To'o, but I think he does have work rate. He also can find the try line. I really like Warbrick at the price. I just think he's going to be playing in, obviously, the Storm are going to be a good side again. They're going to start the season well. And I think Will Warbrick at the price is a really, really good option. Tubby, start with you this time.
I think he's an option. You're going to want to keep abreast with the Zach Lomax Parramatta Eel Supreme Court case and see what happens there.
That's a fair shout. That is good. Yeah.
That could be trouble for the Brick and his starting left wing spot. I mean, other than that, if that was done and dusted and you knew what was happening there before the start of the season and it wasn't up in the air that Lomax could be in any time from round two or three, it's a pod play. It's a Storm sort of, Danny Boyce, Warbrick, Hughes, Stack, something like that. You could easily look at something. He does have the upside in him. The Storm are going to be one of the top four best teams in the comp again, like they always are. So, yeah, he can go on a run, but not for me, I don't think.
Fair enough, Tubes. I'm trying to be a bit more upbeat. John?
Yeah, Warbrick's very meh for me. Like he's.
I actually think that's a really fair way of framing it. It is. It is a bit meh, but at the price, there's something there for me.
Yeah, look, he's definitely at a slight discount. I don't know if it's massive. Like he averaged 53 in 2024, 50 in 2023. So he's never a guy who's been massively Supercoach relevant since 2023 when he started at a basement price and he gave us some nice cash growth. Not for me. Not for me, for the Brick.
Fair enough. Well, that's my five boys. Over to you, Tubby. Take the reins.
Look, I'll just finish on the Brick that there will be a 400K centre wing that's going to average 90 plus to start the year. And why not Warbrick? Could be him easily. All right. I will jump into mine. I just need to remember what they are. All right. I've got five. We've already mentioned one or two throughout the episode, but I am starting with my man, Kalen Ponga. I then jump into another absolute gun in Jaden Campbell. These are some deliberations I'm thinking of at the moment in the back row, and that's Angus Crichton and Jacob Preston. I think Crichton's one that you can take on Isaiah Yeo that was talked about in last week's pod as a must-have. And then my fifth one, which is very intriguing and he's currently sitting in my side, is the Raiders 5'8", Ethan Strange. So they're the five that I want to go through to start off. KP, I'm kicking off with KP. So I mentioned earlier, I've been trying to follow. He's been in my team pretty much since day dot. He's priced at 600K or 608K. Pretty low ownership percentages at the moment at 14%. We know what the year was last year. It's a bit of a narrative pick. I know he's coming off an injury. I know he's not going to play the trials, but apparently he was in the moon boot up until Christmas. He's now fully fit and running. They just don't want to risk him in the trials and he'll be ready to go for Vegas. Part of it is just KP is a proven gun. I think he'll likely keep the goal kicking. We'll see what happens with Sand and Smith, but assuming that all of that works out and KP does keep the goal kicking, we've seen him have huge scores historically in Supercoach. And I'm just putting last year down to, is it Adam O'Brien or Aidan O'Brien? One of them is a horse trainer. One of them is a NRL.
One was a big bash cricketer too, wasn't
there? Yeah. So anyway, AB has to be one of the worst attacking minds in the NRL history. You never could see what was going on with their attacking play last year. I feel like we talked about it each and every week. So I'm just backing in a fully fit Ponga with a new coach, new attacking structure, that he's going to get back to his best. And we know he's a 750 to 800K fullback. Don't mind their run either. Obviously, they start in Vegas, so you get that nice little VC option to start. They got the Cowboys, which are a bit leaky. They've got the Warriors, the Dogs, the Raiders, the Tigers. Not a bad run to start the season either. Christopher.
Yeah, look, Tubes, I don't mind it. Jeez, I don't mind it at all. I think it. I don't mind it at all. I think you are getting him in a reduced price, and if he's got the goal kicking, I really like it. Like you said, they've got a nice run to start. I worry about injuries in the preseason, taking them into the season. Like last season injuries into a new season, I'm okay with, but preseason injuries where you're carrying them, they do worry me. So I potentially will not start with Ponga, but geez, if he fires, especially round one, it's going to hurt not owning him. I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, Tubes, I love it. Like I think you said there's a bit of narrative involved. Put the narrative aside, there's just great stats involved. Like he's priced at a 62.2. He averaged 80.7 in 2024, 87.4 in 2023. Last year, he just never looked quite right. I'm going to go as far as to say if he is goal kicking for round zero in Vegas, he's a must have, and I'll leave it there.
A beauty. Good start. All right. My second one is Jaden Campbell. Only available at halfback this year. He was obviously dual last year, but really made that number seven jersey his own at the Titans. He's priced in that premium range, 711K, but he will be pod territory because of it as halfback only. Average 72.8 in 2025. But for me, the big one is just how much he gets the ball. So the ball stats are telling me that he averaged 38.6 in base plus power as a halfback last year, and that's not even including the fact that he is a goal kicker. Again, obviously a bit of a change of head coach at the Titans, potentially looking at what they can do from an upside point of view. I just think as a premium gun halfback, I'm like him to take on the likes of Nathan Cleary and Nico Hines to start the year with just a little bit cheaper.
Yeah,
Jono, I'll throw to you.
Love it. He's a massive pod at the moment. He's in 4% of Supercoach teams. That's craziness for a player who's this good. I am a big chance of starting him in my flex position. I think JC really like him. His power stats, Jibs, you mentioned how much he loves to hog the ball. One of the great power halfbacks of all time. He averaged 11.5 points per game last year in pure power stats. For context, Nico Hines averaged less than 5 in power stats. So he's just a man who loves to get the ball. The closest half or 5'8 to him last year was Tommy Dearden, who was nearly 3 points a game less in power stats than Jaden Campbell. So gets the ball, bust tackles, offloads. I think he's criminally underowned. And I'm a big chance of starting him in my team for the year. I think the big thing is coming down to someone like a Kalyn Ponga. Do I go him or Jaden Campbell? Might come down to that goal kicking, but I like both.
Nice, Jono. I like both your points, and I really like Jaden Campbell. That actually blew me away, the base plus power thing, especially for a small in stature half as well. He's like, there's big halves, and he's not a big half. So that sort of blew me away. For me, if I'm paying premium prices, I want a Nathan Cleary or a Nico Hines. And Jaden Campbell might just be that. But in a team that won't make the eight and have always struggled, I'm not sure I can fork out that cash to start the season with him. In saying that, I see a world where I do own him and he is flying because he is that good. I just think, you know, if I'm paying that price, I want Cleary or Hines, but that's me.
Yeah, look, I understand. I think Jaden Campbell overtakes Nico Hines this year, and Cleary's just too expensive for me. All right, I'll jump into my next one, which is Angus Gus Bus Crichton. He's starting the season at 610K, obviously coming off a much lower averaging season in 2025, averaging only 62.4. 58 of that was in base plus power at the Roosters last year. So basically he's had 4 points on average in attacking stats. Only 4 tries in 2025. I just think that there's huge upside with Angus Crichton. Interestingly, looking at his stats from last year, 3 of those tries came in the last handful of rounds when Sam Walker was back on that left edge and the Roosters started being a bit more dominant on that left edge with Sam Walker instead of Sandon Smith. I think with their halves pairing that they're looking at to start the year, obviously Cherry may take a little bit more ball, but I think the buck will still stop that Sam Walker will be able to call the shots. Dustbus fully fit. We know he's got huge upside. 610K. What did he average the year before? I just had it up in front of me. A lot more is what I'm going to put it at. And I'll leave it at that and throw it to you, Jono.
0.5 tubes is the number you're looking for.
I knew you'd have it.
Always happy to help you out, mate. Look, he played 2024, 77.5. 2022, 66.3. 2023 was that year where everything was a little bit funny, which we don't speak of for Angus Crichton. But basically every other year he's averaging 66 as a minimum. But 3 of the last 5 years he's gone 75 plus with his average. And he's priced at priced at 62. So there's huge value in Angus Crichton. I like the narrative stuff. The Roosters looking to compete this year. It's his last year at the Roosters before he potentially finishes in rugby league and heads off to come 8th in a Rugby Union World Cup. So I really, really like it, Tubes. I'm tossing up him versus Isaiah Yeo. I think they're both excellent value. There's a chance I start with both, but I really do like Angus Crichton. I hate Tubes. I wanted to disagree with you so badly, but every case you put forward, I'm finding myself agreeing with, and I don't like it.
Oh, yeah. I'm on the Gus bus, boys. I think everything you've said is 100% on the money. and, you know, you touched on narrative before about Ruben Garrick leaving Manly and going to the Roosters as being potentially not a great thing. I think his last year in rugby league is a good thing. I think he will feel as though he probably owes the Roosters a great year to finish. And, yeah, he'll be at his tackle busting, try scoring, driving halves and mad all year. I think he's going to have a huge year, Angus Crichton. And I'm starting with him.
Yeah, look, you know, people can sometimes question it of some people to say, last year, is he going to switch off? This is a man that cut off his finger to keep playing rugby league. Like, he's not going to switch off. He's not going to switch off for this last year of the Roosters. He's going to be looking to win a premiership. And that takes me to my next crazy back rower. He's playing on the right edge, I believe, for the Bulldogs, and that's Jacob Preston. I like the idea of having a gun back rower. I think that he's one of those young up and coming. I think he's got origin potential. He'll likely be in the squad this year. He may make the team again. I like the idea of the way that Galvin and him having a preseason together and actually clicking and running off each other, with Galvin demanding more ball on that right-hand side. And we know he's got both the floor from a base plus power perspective, with him averaging 56.4 last year after a 25 average of 70. But we also know he's got the upside to go massive with attacking ability, runs a great line, loves a try off a kick, could easily see him step into a similar position that we've seen from an ECAT over the last few years, with just the amount of tries and things that he does. Really, the only negative for me for Preston is that round 2 bye. That's probably one of the things that makes me hesitate when you're paying 680K for someone that you know has a bye in the first 2 weeks. Christopher, any love for Preston?
Look, yes, he's a great player. I think he scored 11 tries last year. So yes, the attacking stats were up last year. I just think we just mentioned a guy who's 60K cheaper, who I think is going to have greater output this year. It's not to say that I don't think Preston at some time will become relevant. I just think you're getting probably apples v apples with Crichton and Preston, and I'd be going Crichton for the lesser price. So, and that round 2 buy as well. So he's a no from me to start the season, but I have no doubt he'll come into calculations at some point because he is a serious footballer.
Look, in the words of the great old El Paso girl, why not have both?
I like spending my money elsewhere. But yes.
Jono, will Hungry for More be hungry for Jacob Preston?
No, I think he's fairly priced. I don't think there's a lot of value there. C-Mac mentioned the 11 tries last year, which is a decent amount for a back rower. I think the price is fair. I think there's value in other back row positions. Tubes, you mentioned liking to start with a premium player. And I agree with one in that back row. But Matt actually made a really good point in the Baller Discord during the week that David Fifita is basically a premium player that you're getting priced at a mid-range price. So you kind of already are getting a cheap premium player in that role. I just think it's a little bit too much cash when there's cheaper options available, like C-Mac put forward.
All right, I'll round this out with a bit of a chat about Ethan Strange. This is very narrative heavy. He had a great season last year. He averaged 62.4. His base plus power is 34. And he's priced at 610K. This is a little bit around 5'8 is just such a dire position. If Dylan Brown does not get the 5'8 spot, I'm looking for who is that other option. I may start with two cheapies if I can find them in 5'8. And I think that Ethan Strange is the one that could take a step up. Obviously, there's a question mark if he kicks goals with Sanders in the team. I'm not sure I loved the thought of him moving to the right-hand side, but what I do like as a narrative is the fact that Ethan Strange, this needs to become his team with Fogarty gone. It's not going to become Ethan Sanders' team. It needs to become Ethan Strange's team. And I just think that he was electric both for the Raiders and then even like making the Australia squad and everything at the back end of last year. Such a great ball runner, has that attacking upside in him. He's definitely on my radar as potentially the best 5'8 option for the year. Jono, you're nodding along. Raiders boy, what do you think?
Look, I'm not a Raiders man. Love my Rabbitohs, but I do have a soft spot for living down here in the capital. Tubes, I love Ethan Strange as a player. If he was goal-kicking this year, he'd be pushing towards a must-have for me again. Like, his second half of the season was phenomenal. You mentioned that switch to the right edges here from the left, which shout-out to, I can't remember who it was, but someone in the Baller Discord kind of brought that forward to our attention during the week. I sent off a couple of text messages, Tubes, based off that information, do a little bit more digging. You know that I do know people who cut the hair of some very important people down here in Canberra. And he did confirm for me that is the way, or someone did confirm for me, that is the way the Raiders have been training. This person also confirmed for me that what your narrative, Tubes, that you're saying of a bigger role is 100% true. They are going to be looking at Ethan Strange doing a significant amount more of general play kicking this year. That isn't just down to Sanders. That's apparently down to the fact that when Fogarty had a lot of pressure put in last year, there wasn't anyone else to step up and take a big role. So they're looking at Strange taking that more in his game and taking a bigger role of the playmaking. Now, there's two ways that could go. A bigger playmaking, more kicking could actually be good for his Supercoach scoring, or we know he's a man who loves to run the ball. Could it potentially have a negative impact and take away from his base plus power and see him have less, become a better NRL player, but maybe not score quite as well from a Supercoach perspective? There's a lot of questions. I just want to watch and see how it plays out. But with how much I rate him as a footy player, I wouldn't hold it against anyone who wants to take a flyer on Ethan Strange in that 5'8 position. I would hold it against him because I think Dylan Brown, if he gets named at 5'8, is better, and I don't think you want to have both. So, but if Dylan Brown's not named at 5'8, maybe worth a flyer. C-Mac, what do you think?
Yeah, look, I'm so intrigued to see how Ethan Strange plays with a greater role. Sometimes getting that extra bit of responsibility for a footballer who is tough, uncompromising, just loves running the football, actually takes away from their football. So I'm actually a little bit worried about it. I won't be starting with him. I want to have a good look at him. Obviously, the kid's a gun. He's a superstar. He's going to play Origin. He's going to play for Australia. But I want to see how he goes without a halfback who is a dominant half controlling things. Like, yeah, Fogarty's got his knockers, but he got them around the park beautifully last year. Ethan Strange just had to worry about getting the ball when he wanted it, basically. If he's involved in running the team and getting them around the park, I really worry for his football. I'm not going to start with him, but the kid's an absolute superstar. Could come into calculations at some point. No for me, though.
Fellas, that is the end of our big deep dive into the 15 of the most intriguing players coming into this NRL Supercoach season. Fellas, we've gone long tonight. I just want to know quickly from you two, producer Gramsy has written in the chat that we have talked him into 3 players so far from this chat. So Gramsy said off the back of this, he's brought in Stefano, Warbrick and Campbell. Maybe he's been generous. He's given us 1 each from that we said. I just want to know, C-Mac, for you, is there anyone that is now you're putting serious consideration to bringing in your team who you might not have been earlier?
Tubes got me up and about Kalyn Ponga. Just that extra, because I was all in on Walsh, and that extra 235K or whatever it is would be in the bank. I could do some serious things. So that is definitely someone who got me up and about a bit, for sure.
Tubes?
Jerome Hughes entered my side during tonight's pod, so he might not leave. I'm very excited about that.
I think for me, the big one was Jaden Campbell. I think I said at the time, I've toyed with him as my flex in my squad. He's never once been a flex in my squad in any draft, and I've done a lot of drafts. I don't know why I said that, but maybe I was thinking ahead
good,
at my
though.
Next. Maybe I was thinking ahead to my next draft because he's seriously on my radar. I think he's super impressive, and that I think I've said 3 times this pod, I don't care about ownership this time of year, but 4%, that's incredible how low that ownership is. Fellas, a quick baller blueprint this week. Last week, myself, Dan and Matt spoke about kind of the strategies we're thinking of when building a team coming into a new Supercoach season. We have gone long, so you guys might not be able to go as deep as what you would like to. But, Tubes, I'm going to throw to you because I know you are champing at the bit to tell us a little bit about your team build philosophy for this year.
Yeah, look, I might need to save all the stats and all the research I've done for another episode, McGrath. But basically what I'm thinking is you want to play the guns in the positions where you've got the best chance of scoring well, and I think you want to go cheap in those positions where you don't. And what I mean by that is hooker is terrible. Like Harry Grant is probably the only out-and-out gun, and he's no guarantee to average over 75 for the first 5 rounds. And basically everyone else, it's just a luck box to potentially go there. So I'm looking at either going a dual cheapy hooker strategy, or I'm looking at going a mid-ranger and a cheapy strategy for hooker. Fullbacks, however, whilst there's 17 fullbacks in the comp to start the year, we know that more than 10 of them are likely going to be averaging above 65, and more probably around 7 or 8 are going to be averaging above 75. So I want to put as much money into that position as I possibly can. Obviously, when there's a guy like Keeney staring you in the face, it's cheap and you know he's a gun, you're still going to get him. But that's what I'm looking at doing. Similar position for halfback. That's why I want to start the year with 2 absolute gun halves, whereas cheap halves historically have not done that well. They take a few seasons to start kicking off. So I'm going to be looking at stacking fullback. I'm going to be looking at stacking the halves, and I'm going to be looking at going cheap in hooker, and likely, apart from Dylan Brown, assuming Dylan Brown gets 5'8", I'll have him. If he doesn't get 5'8", then I'll probably still just go real cheap at 5'8", and look at stacking that back row, front row, forward position as well. And I suppose the other point just to add, that's in a similar position with center wing. Obviously, there's so many center wings out there. I think that you could get lucky and grab all of the right high-priced, high-averaging center wings to start the year. But the gap between a cheap center wing that's starting, that scores tries, and the best center wing isn't necessarily going to be that large. So I think if there ends up being good, cheapy starting center wings, I'll be getting as many of them into my side as possible.
Beauty. Oh, I could choose. Looking forward to seeing those stats that you're talking about on a future episode once you do your big deep dive. I'm sure ChatGPT will be getting a few prompts trying to see if you can find that research for you. Maybe you just need to give ChatGPT your login to baller.live and see if you can figure it all out for you. C-Mac, what is your team build philosophy heading into this year? What are you looking at?
to be fair, Tube's touched on basically my main philosophies. And ever since the Flex has come in, no, but seriously, like you spend big at halfback, you spend big at fullback. You try to find value where you can. I think this year there's some seriously talented players like Latrell Mitchell, like David Fifita, even a Cody Walker, who are very, very like underpriced for what they previously have been. So if you get the value in those other spots, it's really, really easy to load up on your halfback and fullback, which most people I think should be doing. The other one is just don't spend up big for me. Don't spend up big in your front row. I think that's a cardinal sin early. I think, yeah, there's a Payne Haas that you can definitely spend that money for. But outside of that, you don't want to be spending that much money on your front row. Tubes was right about hooker. He's pretty much on the money about 5'8". And look, like you said earlier, Jono, you've got a gun second rower there at 435K in David Fifita. So this year, I actually think it's really easier. It's much easier than it has been in previous seasons to get a well-balanced side because you've got so many absolute guns at a lower price. But again, fullback, halfback, go big.
All right, beauty. Well, fellas, that pretty much brings us to a close. The next podcast that's going to pop up in your ball of feed after this one is going to be the Sunday Snap. Tubes and I will both be back reacting to the first weekend of trial matches and also answering your questions. So if you are a baller exclusive through the Discord, please jump into our podcast question section. Write them on in. Tubes and I will pick out the best ones and we'll go through those on the Sunday Snap. And then Tuesday next week, we're recording again. We are going to be looking at the premium. So we'll be going to be going through positionally, looking at the best premium options and discussing who to avoid and who we should lock into our teams. Fellas, thanks so much. It's been great to have you both on for your first episode of the 2026 season. It's going to be a massive year for Baller. C-Mac, moustache looks fantastic. We'll see if it makes it through to your 40th birthday at the end of the month. I'm backing that no, it won't. But we'll see how we go.
Stranger things have happened, Jono. I think it's a massive chance of going. But no, it was great fun being on tonight. Really, really good being back involved. I had a well-earned off-season. Had to just disappear from Discord, from just Supercoach in general. But yeah, chomping at the bit now. So thanks very much for having me, boys.
Tubes, take us home.
You beauty.
Good gusto there, Tubes, for the first one of the year. Very good gusto.